But now joining us here on the show, glad to welcome in Kim Davis, Executive Vice President, Social Impact, Growth Initiatives, and Legislative Affairs with the NHL. Thanks for this, Kim. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're awesome. Thanks for joining us here today on the show. It's really been an interesting couple of weeks, and some positives, some negatives with everything that's happening in the world. What are you seeing when it comes to the protests and how they've progressed over the last few weeks?
Well, I think it's interesting, and I've been asked that question over the past couple of days, pretty much in the context of whether or not I think we're going to continue to see people being focused on this, or are people going to, you know, get preoccupied and move on to something else. And my view is that we're seeing something unlike anything that we've seen in the past 50 years. You know, it is very much like some of the things I remember in the 60s, and I am old enough to have remembered and experienced some of that. And I really think we're at a point where there's no turning back.
Kim, looking ahead at, you know, I know you've talked about this in the past, but going from emotion to meaningful action, how do we do that as not only people, but, you know, in the case of the NHL, as a business, which can make change in their own industry, how do you go from emotion to meaningful action now?
I think it in large part has to do with having a concrete set of plans, goals, and accountabilities, and walking through that process in a way that holds ourselves accountable, and getting input from others outside of ourselves that also will hold us accountable to change.
You know, it's we understand the ultimate goal, and we want to keep striving towards that, and more equality, and a better sense, a better feel that there is that equality. But that's a long way down the road. Do we have to set, you know, short-term targets, things that we can do all together in our own lives that can, you know, contribute towards that long-term goal?
I think we do, and I think it starts with something that I've tried to be consistent in saying, and that is we have to be good listeners and learners. You know, if you think about any part of our business that we need to strengthen, the first thing we do is we collect data and we understand the gaps that exist, and we educate ourselves on how we fill those gaps. This work is no different than any other aspect of our business. And so we have to educate ourselves, and that means being proactive, not expecting people of color and people that come from underrepresented groups to, one, have all the answers, and two, do all of the educating and the identification of our areas of need. So, you know, it requires each of us to be introspective.
And we've seen that from NHL players as well, with a certain amount of player activism speaking their minds and coming out with statements. And it does often, you know, somebody of color myself, a lot of friends will come out and say, okay, how do we support you in your initiatives? And I guess the question here is, Kim, how do we become better allies in this current time?
I think it goes back to introspection. I think we all, each of us, even people of color, we are not immune to bigotry and our own forms of ways in which we see the world. And I think it starts with us interrogating the models that we operate under, challenging those in our families and our close friends, and making sure that we aren't allowing people to get away with anti-racist kinds of behaviors and comments because we are turning a blind eye. I think it starts with that self-reflection and that interrogation of our own models and within our own networks.
Kim Davis, our guest, you've been with the NHL for a couple of years now. How have you seen it grow on the diversity level?
I think we are making great progress, and I try to measure progress from where we started to where we are versus where we need to go, because that's one of the ways in which people get very exhausted and frustrated in this work, is we look at our start point and we measure progress relative to where our ultimate goal is. And you have to measure along the way. One of the things that I know to be true in this kind of work is that you have to be cognizant of the fact that you have to do a lot of back work to ready your organization for the kinds of programs and initiatives that you want to launch. Programs and initiatives are great, but if the organization and its leaders, those in positions of power, haven't been educated, if they don't understand why this is about growth and not about charity, if they don't see it as a business imperative, then it's just going to be a check the box exercise and it's not going to be substantive change.
From a organizational point of view, it's understood, and those points are, you know, definitely noted. But from a sport point of view and a hiring practice point of view, you know, hockey has had that mentality of it's about who you know and being in the fold and the old boys club. How does hockey change that to include more diverse voices in management and coaching?
By starting. I think we have to first recognize that there's a need. And understand and believe that there's a business case for change. And I think the business case is very obvious. The demographics don't lie. I mean, if we are going to grow our sport and grow our business, we are going to have to embrace the audiences that are growing at the greatest rate across North America. And those audiences are people of color. And so, you know, I don't think there is much more convincing to do of that fact. So now the next step is, so how do we then start moving forward? As an example, a couple of weeks ago, we had a very robust conversation with the NHL Coaching Association talking about creating a development program so that we can identify a pipeline of diverse coaches and start moving them into positions where they have access and they have mentors so that they can ultimately move into NHL roles. And last week, the Coaches Association had a major event where they invited over 100 coaches, and they reached out to us because of that conversation a couple of weeks ago to help identify a number of potential coaches of color, and 15 were identified. And so now we are beginning to look at those 15 and how do we cultivate those relationships? How do we create mentors with NHL coaches? And so it starts with that kind of work. And it starts small and it goes from there. And that's how you build.
Kim Davis, our guest. And you know, a lot of the things, because it is, part of it is, we need to make hockey more accessible for more people, and that's then economics come into it, Kim, and which communities get excluded because of the sheer economics of the game and how much the equipment costs and the rental of ice and all these different factors. So a lot of what you're working at, you know, deals with grassroots level, even though you're with the National Hockey League. How do you connect the two from the start to the end goal of the NHL?
It's going to take some accelerated, very focused work. And I'll give you an example. You know, we've had these Hockey is for Everyone programs for many, many years, and Willie O'Ree has done an amazing job of helping Black and brown kids and girls feel good about hockey. But that alone is not going to help solve the problem that you just outlined. We're going to have our clubs and those leaders in positions of power to help create accelerated programs where we can get kids of color on elite pathways, because we understand that that's going to be good for business. And frankly, there are a number of clubs that have expressed an interest in doing just that, putting dollars as well as resources behind those kind of accelerated efforts. And it's going to take all of that collectively and all rowing in the same direction at the same time for us to see the kind of change that I think we want and expect.
Kim, you know, just growing up in Canada and to a family of immigrants myself, ball hockey was that introduction to the game. Is ball hockey and you know, as a sport, is that an entry that you think maybe the NHL is going to use a little bit more going forward here, or can be used to introduce people to the game?
Huge, huge, huge entry point, and something that we've been spending a lot of time working on. We see it as an on-ramp to ice hockey, but we also believe that ball and street hockey and deck hockey can be a ramp onto itself for kids who want to consume the sport and ultimately can be fans of the sport. And so we've been working on some interesting innovations and testing models where we've gone into both rural and urban areas, and we're testing this concept that I'm about to share with you in Boston and Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia, where we are retrofitting basketball hoops so that you can actually go on a basketball court and connect a hockey net and have hockey sticks there and have kids get pickup games so that they just sort of see hockey as yet another sport that they can consume in their neighborhoods on courts right in their communities. So we are going to have to continue to look at those kinds of innovations if we're really serious about growing the sport.
Kim Davis, our guest, you mentioned hockey is for everyone, and we've debated on the show a number of times. It doesn't always feel that hockey is for everyone. What does that that statement, hockey is for everyone, mean to you?
Yeah, I've talked a lot about this, and I tried to even go into more details in a recent op-ed that I penned. But you know, hockey is for everyone. I don't think it was ever intended to be a statement of where we are, and that's, you know, period, end of subject. It's an aspiration. I think it is the way in which we can show our vulnerability and to be honest that we've got work to do. And even though the game has not been known historically for diversity, that doesn't mean that we should shy away from saying that out loud and re-engaging ourselves so that our game can grow in the future. And that, to me, is what Hockey is for Everyone means.
You're listening to Reach Deeper, joined by Kim Davis. Kim, last week we saw and heard about the formation of the Hockey Diversity Alliance, Evander Kane, among others involved in that group. How much dialogue have you had with that group so far?
We've had a very constructive dialogue. In fact, I was on the phone with them almost 2 hours last night. I think what we are coming to understand is that as we are putting together our structures within the National Hockey League, our Executive Inclusion Council that's going to be made up of the most senior leaders and then the various committees that are going to feed insights and input to that committee, I almost see the Alliance as an offshoot of the Players Committee, where I use the term a special forces unit that's going to be laser focused on issues of racism, particularly for players of color. And their insights are going to be critical as we think about inclusion in a more holistic way. The Players Inclusion Committee is going to be focused on diversity and inclusion broadly across all of the intersections of race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation. But the Alliance, I think, is going to be that special forces unit that's going to provide insights and intelligence on the ways in which we can work specifically on the growth of the game through the eyes of players of color.
Hockey has long been, you know, a place where you don't speak out. You're part of the team, and you fall in line with the team. Don't become a distraction. And we've really seen that change over the last couple of weeks with so many players coming out and talking about their feelings towards these anti-racism causes and Black Lives Matter. It really felt to me that it was a step in the right direction towards breaking some of that, you know, inherent tradition of hockey player silence almost. Did you feel the same way, Kim?
Yeah, to me it was an exciting moment, and it really brings example and evidence to something that I often say about hockey, and that is you can honor hockey's traditions without being traditionalist. And I think that the players speaking out, particularly the white players, it just affirms what the players of color have long been talking about and been bringing voice to. And that is that there are issues within our ecosystem that must be changed, experiences that young people are having that just cannot represent the future of our sport. And I think this is yet another example of, I don't think there's any turning back from this moment.
Kim, this has been a great conversation. We really appreciate you making the time for us today. All the best to you. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you for this, and we'll be talking again soon. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me. Bye-bye, guys.